Hey everybody, it's David here with Dave Jones, and we want to welcome you to a very special episode of the Apply Rigor podcast. And it's special because there have been things that have been happening in culture, and we just could not sit back and just continue to go like in the normal rhythm. We had to jump out of the rhythm to kick out a special episode today because they're really bumping up against the core idea and philosophy of Apply Rigor, right?
Yeah, so today we want to welcome Serena Williams to our podcast.
Hi,
Serena. So we're gonna go over a emotional meltdown
at a Grand Slam level.
At a Grand Slam level. If those of you haven't seen it, we'll post a video on this.
Yeah.
But she hit an ultimate low. It was incredible to watch.
Peaks and valleys, right?
Peaks and valleys, and she clearly was in a valley.
Well, yeah, and I think it's safe to say as we start out, I respect the heck out of Serena Williams. She's had, in my estimation, it's not like I'm close to her or anything, but way more peaks than valleys in her life.
Yeah.
But when we think about the U.S. Open a couple weeks ago,
yeah,
we couldn't help but say we got to unpack it.
It is so bad. She has been such a mentor to the tennis world, for female tennis,
yeah,
for African Americans across the globe, and what they can accomplish with their life. She lives in a glass house. And, you know, the ultimate respect for her and her career and what she's done. I mean, she's done something that, well, nobody else has ever done. I mean, this is why she's absolutely amazing. However, because she lives in a glass house, yep, we can welcome her to this podcast and just highlight a couple of things that happened.
Absolutely, because at the end of the day, like you said, she has been regarded by many as the greatest female athlete of all time. Trust me, I wouldn't want to get on the court with her. I don't know about you. Maybe you got more courage than I do, but no thank you.
No way. No way. So let's talk about it. So she's getting her tail kicked in the first set. She's down 6-2.
Yep.
A couple calls go bad.
And then she's up 3-1 in the second
set. She's up 3-1 in the second set, but some other calls go bad, and then the meltdown happens.
Yes, yes, there it goes. And what's so interesting is that as she melts down and she says the umpire is attacking her character, and then she throws her racket, and then she has to get an actual official, a referee that's not even on the court to come in and help to try to sort this out. When we hear, and we're both when we watch, we're all uncomfortable, okay?
Yeah.
But then when we hear after, she talks about the fact that she had to be herself, she had to share really who she was. And at the end of the day, what does that fly in the face of for some of the things that we've been talking about?
All right, so a couple of things are happening here.
Yeah.
So first of all, she's low EI. She's, when you're, you know, you're in a valley, you're thinking about yourself. So what we call low emotional intelligence. And so versus high EI. So she's low EI. She's thinking about herself. Now, there's a couple of things that I see here that are unfair that are going on.
Sure.
She had a kid.
Yep.
About a year before that. Her hormones are completely out of whack just from having a baby. Those of you that are married out there, they know that, you know, it's just an unfair battle when women are pregnant and have children. It's an awesome miracle that happens, but
it's unfair to them.
It's unfair to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, her hormones, all her levels are just completely, you know, out of whack. She's, yeah, not know how to deal with them. So I've said this before, that sports is a petri dish of emotions.
Yeah.
And whenever you're dealing with, you know, behind the scenes, and, you know, like in an emotional, in a set or a sports setting, whatever, yeah, you're dealing with, it just highlights, it exasperates the issue. So when I think about, you know, hormones, I think about progesterone, testosterone, serotonin, your cortisol levels, your estrogen, her estrogen levels are just out of balance.
Yeah.
And this is an unfair fight for now, for Serena now. So now she goes into this, she knows she's going to lose. And she is.
But does she? Does she know she's going to lose at that point?
She knows she's going to lose.
You think so?
Absolutely. She knows it. It's why she's trying to make a case for herself. And she's not thinking about the big picture of what she's accomplished in her career. She's trying to fight for that emotion. We talked about being an Olympic side of the brain versus the neocortex. She, yeah, is all Olympic right now. She is not thinking rational. And it just goes south really fast.
Well, yeah, you know, and as we think about it, there's a few things in play, right? We've talked multiple times, and you've heard us talk about this, about your MEPs, about your mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual levels. And when either one or a combination get really low, you end up finding yourself in a valley. And so we know at this point, not only from her life experience, is she a little bit out of whack. We know that through the U.S. Open, this is the last of the four Grand Slams, and the press is in her grill every single Grand Slam trying to figure out, are you going to make it back? Are you going to be okay? Are you really better from having a baby?
Yeah.
And so she's carrying all of that weight already. So, you know, if you, we were to start to peg, where is she on that, you know, apply rigor matrix, right? So physically, you know, she's low because of everything she's doing. Mentally, emotionally, you know, the mental and emotional piece, I think you start to see both of those sag at different levels through this meltdown.
Yeah.
Right? Where at first you're going, okay, that's kind of emotional. But then as the emotions really start to get out of whack and out of control, then you watch her mental start to go down as well.
Yeah.
Now, you and I don't know where she stands spiritually.
Right.
You know, ultimately, you know, I'm not her friend. I'm not in her life. I don't know any of that. But at least in those three points, we're going downhill fast.
If you watch the video, I think it's somewhere around the second set that the camera actually does a close-up of her. It's kind of like a side view. And you can see her just so frustrated. And you can see her she's just thinking about a million things and how to calm herself and how to get through. And I was watching it with my son. I'm like, she is gone. She is mentally not in the match right now. She is not focused. She's become a slave to her emotions.
Yeah.
You know, like she's behind right now. She's not on top of trying to, you know, get through this. She's just not here mentally, you know? So at that point I said, it's over.
Okay. So let's pretend, cause we can't do this in tennis, but let's pretend that you can call a timeout. You can take a walk off the court or something. And let's say that you are her sports psychologist. So her coach is right there who gave her a thumbs up and the referee thinks they're cheating. And that's all. By the way, to me, that's bunk. But, you know, there's no way that's cheating. But anyway, so they walk off the court. You're with both of them in whatever holding space is, whether it's some sort of a locker room or whatever, where you're there. What do you say, sports psychologist friend? What are you going to do to get her there? Because again, I look back into, I think, the lens of life, and a lot of our listeners are, because they're never going to be on the stage in the U.S. Open.
Right.
But where they are going to be on the stage is at the point where they get low in those, when in those factors. What do you do? What happens when you're feeling all this?
All right, so let me just back
how
up.
Do
it's
you coach?
It's a great question, because this is really, really difficult territory to navigate, because what's happening is this is Serena Williams.
Well, right.
Right? And so she's on top of the world, and so she's got to have people around her that can give her sound advice. And honestly, once it hits that limbic side of the brain and everything is swirling around the drain, and she's, you know, like, it's really not the time to talk to her.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's just she can't think rationally.
Okay.
So what has to happen, and again, this is really, really hard. You know, I work with some top-end athletes, and, you know, like, not someone like Serena Williams I don't work with, but this has to happen weeks before, months before. She needs to be prepped of what could potentially go south.
Okay.
Right? Like, to understand that, okay, if this happens, what is really going on? To understand that she just had a baby and that her hormones are not, you know, at the normal levels.
Yeah, but don't you think she knows that already, though?
She may know that, but, you know, you have to be really aware of it.
Like, are you talking about you need to literally unpack that in your thought process, if you're an athlete, in this example, before every match, to say, I know I'm carrying this. I know this could potentially be an issue. Now I got to absolutely kind of put it in a place that I can hold it tight mentally so that it doesn't jump out into some Pandora's box craziness.
Yeah, this is anticipating challenges. This is part of mental preparation.
Okay.
So weeks before, months before, that conversation should probably, again, this is rare, really hard. I mean, like, to project out like this is tough, and somebody's got to be in front of her mentally, leading her and saying, okay, here's what could potentially go bad. Let's work this through mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. What does this look like? But let's also engage the five senses. Let's put you, this is months before.
Okay.
Okay. let's put, or a week before, let's put you in a situation where you're down 6-2. What does that look like? What does that smell like? What do you see? What do you feel? Let's walk you through that. So if it does happen, what are you going to do?
Okay.
So you have to be aware that that could be a potential result.
Yeah. But okay. But hold on a second, because there's something we haven't talked about yet in the midst of this, you know, and I think this is true, whether you're Serena Williams or we'll just call it a high performer.
Okay.
Okay. If you're a high performer.
I like that. Yeah.
Okay. There is something called an ego that gets into that that says, no, you're crazy. That's not going to happen. That's not me. I don't need to do that. I mean, how do you cross that bridge to say, no, mental preparation is real. It's impactful.
Yeah.
It's powerful. And it will make the difference when you're up the face to a high performer, whether it's a great salesperson, a great executive, or whatever, that is like, I've been through this already. I am good.
Most of the high performers that I've been associated with, if I were to have this conversation to say, listen, you're going into this environment,
yeah,
and you know, you're living in a glass house for the next 24 to 48 hours, we need to address some issues that could potentially happen.
Mm-hmm.
We also need to address what success looks like. What does success look like coming out of this? What does failure look like? What are some potential obstacles that could happen and get in your way? How could you be frustrated? When we have those types of conversations, I usually don't run into fear, lust, anger, pride, which I call flap.
Yeah.
Right? I usually don't run into that. I just don't, because they're appreciative of the conversation, right? And they feel more prepared.
Okay.
So if you're a high performer, it's because you prepared yourself for these very scenarios that could pop up. So let
me hit one other angle of this, which is another pretty dicey one.
Yeah.
The angle of identity. Okay. And so now if you're Serena and it's 2 days later and you're in a press conference, which she has been, she's gone down the road of defending what she's done by touting authenticity. This is who I am. This is what I need to do. Also, if it's fair for the guys, it needs to be fair for the ladies. To me, isn't all of that some sort of smokescreen for being low EI, and you're also now wrestling with, is my identity really wrapped up in the last soundbite?
Yeah, she's going to look back on this a week out. Maybe she might be defending it, but deep down, she's just hoping this goes away. Like, time cannot go fast enough right now for her. Just let the news cycle through a couple times so this is an issue. This does not feel good for Serena when everything is over and done and she's by herself in her house.
So if someone has a meltdown like that, how do you survive it yet also hold on to the right idea of what your identity is versus being lured into, well, my identity is how many matches I win. My identity is the fact of whether or not I win a U.S. Open.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, that. Her identity is not in that game. Okay.
That's easy to say, but how do you get there?
Well, you have to understand that your identity is not in that game, whether you win or lose. Her career is her identity, right? Everything that she's done, which is amazing, spectacular. So she's got to let go, and she's got to own this. And you know who I felt bad for the worst in this whole thing? It wasn't Serena. It was a girl that actually beat her.
Osaka, yeah.
She beat her, man. And I think one of the commentators said, you know what, Serena just needs to settle down and just let Osaka? Have it. She beat her.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that kind of got taken away from her because Serena was the spotlight, and that's unfortunate.
So, okay, so just take a second, though. Flip the script. Yeah. Let's go over to the other side of the net for a second.
Yeah.
Osaka stays extremely composed.
Yeah.
Extremely focused. You watch her in some of these things, she's not even pointed at the judge. She's not even looking that direction. She's looking at the ball. She's bouncing her. She's turning around looking at the wall.
You know,
how do you do that? Like, yeah, let's talk about that.
You know,
because
what?
You know how fast she could have gotten sucked into this vortex
crazy. No. As a competitor, she's got Serena right where she wants her. Let her unravel, because she's going to beat her, and she knows it. So you know what? You just let it happen. You just let it go, because you got her. You've won. I've talked about this before with some of the teams I coach. It's called mental ping pong. You know, if it's part of the game. Like, if you're on top of that and you're in control of your emotions and another person comes unraveled, it's happy days for you. You're going to win.
So how does that work? How does that work in a marketplace setting? How do you see that apply there? Where does mental ping pong happen there? Yeah.
It's much different, especially if you're running with an organization that's servant leadership, right? That's really serving, and you're serving the kingdom of God, and you're feeling fulfilled in what you do, more of the mental preparation happens, but we do have emotions in the workplace, not at the level of what happened to Serena Williams. Totally different environment.
Well, it's fun.
But you do go low EI.
Yeah.
But it's not exasperated in television. There's not millions of people watching.
Right.
So you have to deal with it. It's the same kind of ownership that needs to happen. You got to say you were wrong.
Yeah.
You got to apologize. You got to be in front of it. You can't be behind it.
Well, it's interesting though, because, you just qualified this organization we just made up, right? You just qualified it as a servant leader organization, but a lot of them are not, Dave. At the end of the day, a lot of them are not. And so when you think about maybe an average organization, a lot of them battle ego by the founder or the president or the CEO, where at the end of the day, they want their organization to thrive and do well because it looks good on them. But they also will have times where they have certain leaders that are great and they can do nothing but sabotage them, right? Because they can't get bigger than me if I'm the founder. I've still got to find a way to hold them down. And to me, that's where some of this mental ping pong happens.
Yeah, it could.
The founder wants to win, but he still wants to be the man. Or she still wants to be the woman. She wants to be in charge. She wants to be the one that's looked at as the great, great person.
Yeah.
Yet at the end of the day, there's someone else that's rising up. That's all super dysfunction. That's not a servant leader environment.
No.
But I think for our listeners, a lot of them work in those places.
Yeah.
So now you're trying to figure out, how does this work? Where it is this ping pong and it feels like a chess match. You feel like a pawn. You're trying to figure out, well, what's the target? Why does it keep moving? Why is this getting so difficult? And I think everything we're talking about, there is an emotional intelligence that has to go into where you're watching what's happening and you are able to not be a slave to your emotions. Instead, you're walking forward and you're leading with them regardless of what anybody else does to you. And that's what I love about Osaka, is she stays focused through the whole thing. She says, I will not, you can see it on her face.
Yeah.
I will not get sucked into this vortex
she's
of crazy.
She's in a great place to be. She is in a great mental place right now when that's all going down. In the workplace, it's so different, and if you are that high EI person, you can do you could do some really fantastic things with the organization, but you can also be very manipulative and destructive. So you got to be really careful in what you're doing there. That's a case by case situation with all the different emotions that are out there. So it's kind of hard to talk to it.
Yeah. Well, let's hit the last kind of chapter of the story, which I don't think has even been written yet. Let's bring you back into the circle with Serena and her coach. Okay. The next tournament, again, you have smaller tournaments, but really the next big deal is ultimately going to be the Australian Open. And that's like January, February. It's the beginning of the year. What are you doing between now and then? Because the moment those shoes hit that court, the whole replay is going to start again. They're going to remember the last time. Like, what do you do? Because I think for some of our people, again, you're hoping that that meltdown or that thing you went through does not stick to you forever. And you talked about a second ago, you want to go away as much as you want, but at times it's going to come back.
Well, so we're back again to the same place.
How do you move forward?
So how you move forward is somebody has to coach her of all the different scenarios that could happen again. And she's got to be mentally prepared. That's the only way to do it. If she does nothing with this, and says, oh, it was the judge, and blames it on the tennis association, and just a one-off circumstance, she's not going to be in a good place for the Australian Open. So she's got to mentally prepare, down her MEPs, and engage those different scenarios. Otherwise, it starts to unravel. And who also, we watched a couple of clips here that it unraveled for years for, the male tennis player.
Oh, are you thinking about John McEnroe?
John McEnroe. Yeah. Here's a guy that just never learned and never had any. If you were to ask him, guaranteed, if he had a sports psychologist or somebody who's prepping him mentally, he didn't have one.
Sure.
It just became this thing with him.
Yep.
And that's his brand.
Yeah.
And so that's, I have a feeling it's not going to happen to Serena Williams. I think she's going to rebound, but she's going to have somebody in her court that's going to help her walk through that mentally. See,
but I think the temptation is, and I think we do this a lot of times when we get into a dicey situation that's uncomfortable, is, you know, the first person, her friends or her family that care about her, and that's fine, they're going to view her through that lens of love, but are going to say, just forget about it, keep moving forward. And what I think I hear you saying is, I don't think so. I don't think we can forget about it. I think we have to actually use it so that we can be more mentally prepared next time versus putting it in the rearview mirror and just imagining that it never happened.
Part of mental preparation is post-game debrief. What did I do right? What did I do wrong? What am I going to start, stop, and continue doing? And this is an example of you can't do that. Why did it go south?
Yeah.
You know, is it because of the hormone levels? Is it because you weren't prepared? Is it because, you know, there's all kinds of different scenarios. I think that she just had a lot of things that were going against her.
Okay, so after you do that, after you do that debrief, though, at that point, then do you put it in the rearview mirror and you don't really deal with it again? Do you let it go?
Well,
or do you ever use it again?
It's the same thing as shooting a hockey puck or kicking a ball or hitting a bait. Like, it's part of the learning process. Okay. You don't forget about it. You learn from it.
Well, and I think that's our temptation, isn't it? That we would rather just forget about it, move forward, pretend it never happened.
Yeah.
So, well, this was a pretty fun conversation. I don't know that it is a completely popular stance.
Yeah.
I think that we're talking about, but I think it's real and I think it's very right. Real. And, you know, for those of you that are listening, at the end of the day, if you can suck out some of the emotions, like if you're watching it live and it really set you off, or if you watch the replay and then it set you off, let's try to suck some of the emotion out and really dig into some of the core things. And I think what you're going to find is that there are places, I know for me, I learned from it that I can get better. I'm sure you did too. Mm-hmm. And everyone, whether you're in your car, you're at home, you're in your office, I would be pretty sure that there are some points in here that you found where you can get better too. So hey, thanks for joining us on this special episode. It was really cool. And every time, you know, we find some things in culture that are going to compel us to stop and say, hey, we got to talk about this, we'll bring it to you. But hey, thanks for being with us. Please subscribe to our podcast, like it, leave a review. But thanks for joining us today. And again, as always, we want to encourage you, go apply some rigor.